I want to, if you'll bear with me, allow me to paraphrase a little bit the scripture that we've been reading out of Acts chapter 2. And this is when the 120 got saved. And then as Peter preached, 3,000 brand new Christians. Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John prepared the way for the New Testament church in which we are part of that today, which was birthed in Acts. And this is what happened when those joyous brand new Christians that had a brand new spirit in them called the Holy Ghost that came to live with them. This is what was the response. And I'm going to start with verse 42 of chapter 2. And the Bible says the new 3,120 new believers received and were baptized and were blessed. And they decided to continue to stay in the Word of God, fellowship, breaking bread, in other words, eating together, and they continue to pray with one another. And it goes on, it says in 43, fear came on every soul. All those that believed were together. From house to house. And it says they did it with excitement, simplicity. They continued to praise God, and they found favor with all those in their neighborhood and in the church. And it says, and the Lord kept saving people. Now, we all know that nobody saves people but the Lord. Amen? We are to demonstrate why it's important to love Jesus, but He is still the one that saves people. When we stand and we agree for healing, He's the healer. When we stand in agreement and believe for breakthroughs, He's the breakthrough God. But we realize that, and so we joyfully come together to celebrate. So, we learned as we broke down those areas that they continued in, when it says fellowship, we learned that the word in Greek was koinonia. And koinonia means that these believers stayed cemented to God, which was Jesus and the Father and the Holy Ghost, and they also learned how to stay cemented with those around them. We see that as the cross. Cemented to the Lord, and then learned how to cement themselves with one another. Not one and only, but both. Very significant to please the Lord, and the Lord then just kept adding to the church. So here we have, you've jumped out and helped us meet the needs of those. Some of you might have got rid of your clothing that you still could wear in that, but you want it to be a blessing. And so you did that, and we rejoice. And it's significance about that. It is Christmas spirit, but Christmas to believers is year-round. Yeah, we pick a time, celebrate the birth, but the essence of it is we're in love with the Lord, and we want to celebrate it all the time. Now, everybody look at me this morning. No two people in this congregation were raised the same way. You had a journey from the time you were born to the time we call today, and your journey allowed you to register a lot of the ways to think in your brain or in your soulish realm. And what has happened is, when you get saved, you get a brand new spirit, but this still has a lot of mental baggage that we have developed through the course of our journey to get here. Come on. So when, whether it's Pastor Mike or myself, and we're wondering, God, why isn't people excited? Why aren't people just in love with Jesus? And why do the cares of today take people out so easily? And the Lord showed it to me this way. It's because we can only relate to our journey, and unless we can learn how to stay connected to Jesus and with others that can share their experiences so that we get the true picture of Jesus and not some counterfeit that we go by because that's all we can relate to. Right. example. A few years ago, we had a ministry here, and it dealt with the fathers. And we found that there's a real absenteeism in Christian circles of fathers. And this ministry said, hey, and they were here, and it wasn't just Shield of Faith. We were packed, wall-to-wall people. And they asked every son that did not have a healthy father, would you come to the front? And as God is my witness, me and one other individual were the only ones that didn't come. Everybody else had not had a healthy understanding of a very strong spiritual father. Now, if the father says that we're to love Abba Daddy, and we don't have a way to relate to him because all we saw was brutality, all we saw was selfishness, all we saw is someone that probably was a product of their own environment, we have that mental baggage in our mind, so we can't relate with Abba Father or Daddy. Amen. So we don't give up, but we realize when we come together, we hear the experiences of others that had a good journey, and it helps filter out the bad journey, and we don't hold our biological fathers to blame because they're normally a product of how they were raised. So how can everybody in here have a beautiful picture of this Jesus that died on the cross and gave us life and life more abundantly if it's all based on our mental baggage of what that means in our journey? Let me give you an example. In the New Testament, Jesus uses husbands and wives to convey the significance of we being the bride and Jesus being our groom. He relates this relationship of husband and wife to our relationship to him as our groom. So, has everybody also had a healthy raising of what marriage looks like? Everyone that comes to the Lord has a mental idea of what that looks like by how they were raised and what they saw. That's right. And if what they saw and how they were raised, they do not have a beautiful picture of the excitement of a husband and wife because they have not that relationship, or they've not seen it patterned before them, or if they did, it was filled with all this nonsense. How then can a body of Christ relate to Jesus as the groom and we're the bride? Well, we relate to him through our experiences. What we've got to be willing to do, church, is this. You've got to be willing to note, I do have some mental baggage here, and I've got to get a clear picture of what this Jesus looks like. He does forgive me. He does have my best interest, and we learn that as we have relationships with others. I'm going to be married here shortly, 50 years. We went into marriage thinking we both knew exactly what it was going to be. Now listen, I saw mom and dad that patterned their love for each other. It was a beautiful relationship, did not put down those that did not have a healthy. I was in church, I grew up knowing the Lord. It was a beautiful raising. My wife, in another Christian faith, still Jesus, was raised with her healthy mom and dad, and they have all of this idea of what marriage. So we came in here, two teenage sweethearts, figuring we've got it. But when we got married, we realized we didn't see everything exactly the same way. Did that make my way right and her way wrong? Did that make her way right and my way wrong? No. What it did was tell me we have got to work. Thank God we had more in our corner because we had healthy parenting. So we knew how it should look. So when we got into this, we had to work through, and we always involved the Lord. Okay, God, we're having this issue. One time I remember we almost split. And my wife says, if this Jesus does not become real, we're not going to make it. And I thought, oh my gosh, it's not. Let's do whatever we have. And we got closer to the Lord, which got us closer to each other. But it didn't make everything perfect. It just means we had a team. And we begin to get rid of some of the mental baggage of how I saw marriage or how she saw marriage. And we realize we got to work through this together with his help.
Amen.
Now we come into knowing the Lord Jesus, and we don't have this relationship of a healthy marriage, and we got to relate to a Jesus. It's not fair to think that everybody's just going to understand. And I have been at fault by thinking, why can't people get excited and be excited all the time? This is so beautiful. But I realize their journey has caused them to have a whole lot of baggage to the way they see their Jesus. Not to the fault of Jesus, but that's why he said, you have to stay connected to the body of Christ, because you're going to learn experiences that you didn't have that's going to make it healthier. You're going to learn how people really had experiences and testimonies of coming to know Jesus that all of a sudden will enhance your life.
Amen.
And you realize the first step was to realize I don't have all the answers to a healthy marriage, and neither does PK, but he does. So it was a give and a take and a working through. Come on now, church. 50% of Christian marriages fail in divorce. Does that mean that God doesn't love? Heck no. When Jesus Christ becomes your Lord and Savior, you're earmarked for heaven. But it sure makes it tough on earth if you don't have the concept of working this out together. And that's why church life is so significant, because we get connected and we learn, what does it mean, Jesus, when you say what you're saying? And we may think we know, but we're not seeing it and not seeing the pure Jesus. I know he wants us to see him purely, to realize he doesn't condemn us. He doesn't put us down. He doesn't not hear our prayers and works things out for our good. But if we don't have a journey that got us to this place, we're always going to be looking at Jesus and suspecting, well, you know, I just got to get good enough. If I just did more for him, he would love me. He loves you the minute you were created, whether or not you accept him or not. When you accept him, it's just frosting on the cake. But he gives you the tools to work through this so you can come to understand the real Jesus that never forsakes you or leaves you as orphans. And that's what takes us to. So when we're looking at scriptures, let's, you know, the saying, the bracelets, what would Jesus do? Well, we can say that's cutesy cutesy, but if we have not had a healthy being raised to know this Jesus that loves you with all his heart, soul, and body, it's just words. We've got to come to a place to really know Jesus and what he did for all of us. And I'm no more special than you are. And sometimes people say, Pastor, I go to a place and they say, that's a revelation. We didn't know. You say we all got the same Holy Ghost. We always thought these pastors, and they had some big giant Holy Ghost, and all the brand new Christians get a baby one. And then they realize, no, you get the same Holy Ghost. He doesn't leave some of his kingdom when he comes in you. He brings it all. Then why aren't people at the same place? Because we have to get our minds renewed so we see how it really should be.
Amen.
And that's called working it out with him and having relationships with others.
Yes.
Trust me, as good as you think you understand it, if you're trying to be a lone ranger, you're going to fall, because an ear needs an eye, an eye needs a foot. We need the parts of the body to be complete.
Amen.
So, this morning, we're celebrating this Jesus, and he's told us how significant it is, our neighbors and our neighborhood. And I want you to turn your Bibles, if you have it again, to the book of Matthew. And I want to talk about being a good neighbor and asking our neighbors, would you be mine? Now, I wasn't raised with Mr. Rogers because I was already married. Everywhere I turned for the longest time, people said,
You got to see the movie. It's so beautiful. The concept is beautiful. It's about realizing whoever you're with, they're the most important person at that time. And then you've got to convey and realize these neighbors are beautiful. And we got to realize that. And so my wife said, let's go see this. We went to see it. And I'm thinking, we bumped each other and we said, we're right on track. We're trying to convey to a bunch of believers that we love how important it is to understand when Jesus says neighbors are a beautiful blessing. We need to understand, how does Jesus see that? Now, for those of you that aren't with us as long as others, you know, we look at the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus training up to leave the earth in part to believers so that we could become part of the new covenant. Started in Acts. Jesus, we know, is at the right hand of the Father. He gave us the Holy Ghost. We're down here. Now, we need to go back into Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and see what would Jesus do. And this was the early saints. We're looking at Matthew chapter 5. I'm going to begin at verse 43. Mine has a caption, love your enemies. And here's Jesus' red letters. And it says this, you have heard that it was said, you should love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Okay, everybody look at me. It's been said, it's scriptural basis, we're supposed to love our what?
Neighbors.
Neighbors. So neighbors are to be loved and hate our enemies. And it says, but I say to you, love your enemies, bless those that are cursing you, do good to those that hate you, and pray for those that despitefully use you, that you become sons and daughters of your Father who is in heaven. So in essence, we're learning a little bit about neighbors should be a given, but I'm here to tell you, there are a lot of Christians that don't realize your neighbors are supposed to be a blessing. It's a given. Love your neighbors.
Yeah.
And that does include your church family. Yes. You love your church family, but we're to love our neighbors. And then, of course, our enemies. And you know, some of our neighbors may have started out as enemies, but because we love them, they're no longer our enemies. It's the principles of God. We reap what we sow. But we've got to be willing to realize we have some mental baggage. We don't see Jesus loving the neighbors like we need to. We need to get that changed. And that's why we come to church. We learn how to be better neighbors. So we can be like a Mr. Rogers. Would you be my neighbor? Well, I had my wife run this off for me because I don't have it memorized, even though some of you that were raised with him might. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? It's a neighborly day in the beauty wood, a neighborly day for a beauty. Would you be mine? Would you be mine? I have always wanted to have a neighbor just like you. I have always wanted to live in a neighborhood with you. So let's make the most of this beautiful day. Since we're together, we might as well say, would you be mine? Could you be mine? Won't you be my neighbor? Won't you please, won't you please, won't you please be my neighbor? Now, that's from raising up children, but there's significance in that. I think the Lord could put that in and say, hey, it's a given. We should be in love with our neighbors. And if we're not, we're going to get this changed, and we're going to fall in love. You're not by accident placed where you live. Wherever you live is not an accident. God's ordered your footsteps. If you're here today, you didn't think, oh, I didn't have anything else to do. I'm going to go to church. No, the Lord somehow quickened that you needed to be here today because he wanted you to get some baggage gone so you begin to look at it in a different light so you understand Jesus clearer and you understand the significance of having neighbors. Will you be mine? So we look at it. Go with me to another scripture as Jesus addresses it. Mark chapter 12. I know you got this in your notes that I left. Verse 28 says this. And it's talking about scribes. Now let me just tell you this. Everybody look at me once you find that spot. We're going to look at Mark 12 starting at verse 28. When you get it, kind of look up here. Because I want to give you the biblical definition of these positions, and the first position is a scribe.
A scribe in the Bible was one that taught in the public. They translated the Old Covenant or the law. That's what their role was. They were looked at as being significant. And most all of them were Levites. Now, what's a Levite? A Levite came from the tribe of Levi, and they were the ones that ran the temple, or they would have been the one that did everything in the church. They were the musicians. They were the preachers. They were the Sunday school teachers. They were the ones that he beheld the honor of all the 12 tribes, Levites. And the reason why is because when all the 12 tribes escaped out of Egypt, there was only one tribe that did not fasten themselves to make a gold image when Moses hadn't come down from the mountain, and it was the Levites. And so the Lord allowed them to be the ones that ran the temple. So they have significant responsibilities. The priests were the supreme religious leaders, and they were Levites. And the last ones I want you to see is Samaritans. Samaritans were a mixed batch. They would be the ones that we would say they're not politically correct. They worshiped idols, and many of them start getting saved. But there was a real bias and prejudice between the Jews and the Samaritans. So you need that picture, because Jesus is trying to give those believers, in preparation of the new covenant, a new way of looking at who your neighbors are. Aren't you glad that even though we weren't born a Jew, we got grafted in so we become that way? And that God is no respecter of persons. He doesn't love them any more than me or you. And he doesn't love the Jews any more than he loved the Samaritans, the Gentiles, any more than he loves the Jews, because his love has been shed abroad in our hearts. And so this is the setup. So we're looking at, beginning at verse 28. One of the scribes, remember the scribes, they were the ones that taught in public. They heard the reasoning together, perceiving that what he had answered was well, and he asked him, "Which is the first commandment, Jesus?" And Jesus said, "The first of all commandments is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God. The Lord is one. And you shall love your Lord with all your heart, soul, and body. And you shall fulfill the first commandment. And the second, like it, is, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandments greater than these.'" This is Jesus speaking. I got the red. So the scribes, remember the teachers, hearing that, said, "Wow, well, Jesus, you have spoken the truth. For there's one God, and there's no other one but he. And so love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And to love one's neighbor as yourself is more than all the burnt offerings or sacrifices we could bring." So wouldn't you say that's very significant, love God and all that, and to love your neighbor? Now, when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, Jesus said to him, to the scribe, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." Now, remember, the kingdom of heaven hadn't been released yet because Jesus hadn't gone to the cross. But he's telling them, you're getting close because you're really understanding. It's not just loving God, but it's loving your neighbors.
Amen.
One last scripture in Luke chapter 10. Beginning at verse 25. And the Bible says, "And behold, now we have a lawyer," he probably was a scribe too, "stood up and tested Jesus. Said, 'Jesus, what shall I do to inherit life, eternal life?' And Jesus said this, 'What's written in the law? What is your reading of it?' So he answered and said, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself.'" Do we see something that always gets included in this? We're supposed to be lovers of our neighbors as ourselves. So yeah, we start in church because it's a whole lot easier to love people that are on your page. Amen? I mean, they see things, they're in love with the Lord, they come here, and even though we're learning to get closer to him, we're like, coming to church is kind of like our practice. Kind of like in the military, basic training was practicing to go to war. The war came after we left basic training. But see, church is our basic training. We come together and learn, oh yeah, I'm supposed to love my neighbors. Okay, what's that look like? Jesus is laying it out. And so he said to him, "You've answered rightly," Jesus says. "Do this and you're going to live." But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Now, you're all still with me, right? We're talking about how significant our neighbors are to be. Jesus answered and said, "A certain man went down to Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, departed, leaving him half dead." Now, it does not identify whether the guy was a Samaritan or whether or not he was a Jew. But somebody got beat up pretty badly and left on the side of the road to die. And this is what Jesus, challenging those very spiritual-minded people. "Now, by chance, a certain priest came down the road." Remember what I said, a priest? A priest were the supreme religious teachers. So we would think they would understand we have to be a good neighbor, right? And he says, "But the priest passed over on the other side." So then a Levite, now remember Levite, they ran the church. "When he arrived at the place, he came and looked and passed on the other side also." So the religious teacher and the religious worker, they both did not want to get involved with somebody that was in distress. "But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. When he saw the one in distress, he had compassion." Everybody say compassion. "So he went to him, he bandaged his wounds, he poured on oil and wine," oil representing love, Holy Ghost, wine representing the blood of Christ, "set him on his own animal, brought him to the inn," type and shadow of a church, "and took care of him. On the next day, when he had to go to his next business meeting, he left money, gave it to the innkeeper, and said to him, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come back, I will reimburse you.' So which of these three," this is what's being asked of this religious scholars, "which of these threes would you say was the neighbor?" And he said, "He who showed mercy on him." Remember when the Bible says, when you do it unto any of these, the least? Do you know even some people that don't love God are not your enemies? And the only reason they're an enemy of God is because they've not received him as their Lord and Savior. But people are not our enemies. This division in the body of Christ that comes because of the political arena, whatever side you're on, you need to get peace, because these people, however they're influenced, are not our enemies. And Jesus said this, "Go and do likewise." So, I shared that because wouldn't you say to understand Jesus, we have to understand if he was trying to point out how important our neighbors are, don't you think it's significant that fast forward 2,000 years, here we are, that those neighbors are supposed to still be very significant to us? I don't mean just you all, because like I said, remember, it's easy to bless somebody that's always going to do you right. But are we? You know, many times I've told you this, if this church closed down today, we should be missed in this neighborhood. Because we're so great? No, because we should be a blessing to our neighbor. We pray for the homes around you. We pray for the businesses. We encourage our people to hit the businesses in the area. The township supervisor came here unexpected to see what we were doing with the digging, because he wanted to make sure we didn't hit the water lines. It just happened to be when we were right there praying for all the township positions that we put every day on our overhead and we pray for them. He was undone. Oh my gosh. Had them all there, every one of them in their position and what their role is. And then we had a bunch of other ones. We got our police chief. We're down to the Saginaw Police Station, the pastors. We had 20-some pastors gathering, and we're praying for our city. And the police chief comes in, and he says, "You guys and gals, I got to tell you this. This is phenomenal. Crime has steadily been decreasing, and I know it has a lot to do with this faith-based praying." And he said, we're welcome. He clears all of us. We go through security, you know, the old buzzer's just beeping as we all go through with our change and our watches, and we get to go up in the upper room, and we get to, for an hour, pray for this city, protection on our officers, on the firefighters, on the first responders, and this police chief is undone. I'm telling you, we should be made known because of the love we have beyond these people that come to our church. And every Christmas, we'll be at our township dropping off goodies to say thank you for being good overseers of our township. First year we had back in 1990, our first year we opened up, we had a K-12 school. We were trying to get certified to be a school. We had that part of our church. Neighbors came. They were upset. We don't want a church here. Da, da, da. And we didn't. I went down to the meeting, and the guy that owned this was fighting on our behalf. And they gave us a one year, what would you call it?
Probation.
What did we do? We just took packages of goods. We blessed our neighbors. Our kids took fruit baskets. And every time they'd go to the door, they'd say, what do you want? You're looking for a hand? Are you looking for some money for your school? No, we just want to say we love you and God bless you. Is there anything you pray for? One year later, this township was filled, and they said, oh, we want you. We want you to stay. It wasn't because Shield of Faith had all the great spiritual truths. It's because we became a good neighbor in this neighborhood.
Amen.
And we weren't looking to offend or hurt people. We weren't looking to blast our music outside and we're nurses. In fact, what we do is just the opposite. We lit our tennis courts and we'd have people playing. Some of the lights were keeping some nurses that worked a night shift. We shut that off so we don't have that light on. We're not here to try to, don't persecute us because we're Christians. No, we want to be a worker in our community because our neighbors are important. The Bible says they'll know us by the love we have, not just for one another, but the love we have for our neighbors because we're supposed to love our neighbors like ourselves.
Amen.
But I've found it's hard to love your neighbors if you don't love yourself. If you're caught up in all your issues, and if you're caught up in all yours. And that's why I say, church, you come and you learn how to fall in love with Jesus and realize he's working on your behalf. Grow not weary in well-doing. You're going to reap if you faint not.
Amen.
Amen. When we first moved out where we live, in the Marion Springs area, everybody out there was related to everybody. And we have a cross we light up. It's being lit now. If you go out our area, it lights up. It's about 15, 20 feet tall. It lights up in the woods. We had all kinds of things coming back. They say you're sacrificing animals underneath there. Because at the time, you know, there was the stuff in the paper that dogs were being sacrificed to Satan. I'm kidding. There was like hatred. We didn't reciprocate. All we did was love our neighbors. We blessed them. We did whatever we could. And over the course of time, this last year, we bought this back 10 acres. And the neighbors said, oh, we're so glad you're keeping that in the neighborhood. Oh, so we've been accepted as part of the neighborhood. We should be. When a man's ways please the Lord, even your enemies become at peace with you. I mean, we had the funnest time yesterday going to all our neighbors around our house. We do something special. This time we got some fudge or we got candy or we got this kind of unique and we get these cards. And then we got a new little baby that this family had us praying for. And we prayed that this lady would be able to conceive, and she did. And he was grateful. And we took him a little bulb that says, we've been praying for you. We're trying to be a blessing to our neighbors. And so we're setting time to come and let's have dinner together and so forth. I'm telling you, the Bible says that we have to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. And I'm trying to stretch you to get outside of your own situations and realize your neighbors are looking for men and women of God to be a blessing to them. They don't need you to preach at them. They don't need you to tell them you're going to hell if you don't make Jesus Christ your Lord. They need to see you care. And you show them you care by doing something out of the normal. So I'm here to attest that I believe if you guys moved out of your neighborhood, you would be missed. And don't say spiritual, yes, because we covered in prayers and all hell will fall in. Hopefully not, because you're supposed to be praying that God will bless them whether you're still there or not. Amen?
Amen.
Don't get locked up.
Well, it's about my biological family. I just make sure that they're...
No, that's a given that you want to do what you can. But we're to be a blessing to those. It's not by accident. Whoever lives next door to you or lives in your neighborhood, it's not by accident. And please, we don't go into it trying to straighten out their theology. People used to say, how come you didn't get in trouble all the years you taught in school? Because I never talked religion. When these kids would ask me questions in school, they say, Mr. Townsend, what do you see this? They'd get into drinking or something. I said, hey, I would give them scripture. I says, how many of you have Bibles? They all had Bibles somewhere at home. I'd give them something. They'd come back, oh my gosh, I didn't know that was in there. See, what happens is when people are threatened, thinking you're trying to get them out of my faith. No, if Jesus Christ is our Lord, we're on the same team. But they don't know. And so we encourage them. Why do you think we pray so diligently that your children don't get abused so they can go into a marriage relationship and not have to work out all the nonsense that many of you had to? See, I thank God that I didn't have to work out a lot of nonsense. And I've even had men say, Pastor, you're glad you've never had any relationships because you don't have anything in your mind you got to work through. Don't you want our kids to grow up in that environment? That the only one they learn to work this marriage with the Lord out is that person that God brings into their life? Yes, that they can learn together? As ridiculous as it is? I mean, we laugh about the first few months of our marriage because we didn't have any idea. But the Lord did. And He works through that. That's what we should. If you've got neighbors with young kids, you should be praying that they keep their innocence until marriage. You should be praying that God will protect them. Why? Because you care about them. And it doesn't have anything to do with what you went through. You've gone through it. And it's a lot harder to work it out if it's been registered with mental baggage in our head. And I've seen too many marriages break down because one has to be the King Kong and the other one has to be the secondary. We are an unbeatable team in marriage. And as we grow together with Him and we learn from the others in the body of Christ, we can conquer anything that comes our way. And then when we have matriarchs and patriarchs in their 80s, I'm telling them, we need fathers and mothers that show us if you stand together. Could I ask Chuck and Alice, was it a piece of cake? Is it still a piece of cake? I would wager to guess they'd say, it's still a challenge. But you work through it with the Lord. So that when we graduate, we can't wait to see our beloved when we get there. So take out a today, church. Take out a day, you that are watching on Facebook. Don't take your neighbors for granted. Look at this as an opportunity to begin to be a blessing in your neighborhood. And please don't take your church family for granted because they're praying for you daily. If you call this your regular home, you get on our prayer sheet every day you come up. And if any of you and some of you have come to prayer, you know we take it seriously, everyone. And when somebody leaves our church, we pray they get connected someplace where that church prays for them because we believe that the new believers got together in fellowship and they prayed for one another. And I'm a firm believer, body. You don't just, oh, pray peace on earth. That's ridiculous. You pray peace in the very part of the earth that you have say over. And you hope others do the same thing because together we become this unbeatable team. And the Lord loves you just as much as He loves anybody else. And if you're viewing us and you've not made Jesus Christ your Lord, do so. You don't have to jump through any hoops. Just say, Jesus, I've tried it on my own. My marriage is in shambles. My relationships are in shambles. And I'm coming to you, Jesus. I surrender my life today. Help me and hook me up to a local family that can give me better ideas on how I can grow and get this mental baggage out of my way. I see Jesus or I see marriage or I see life itself. And we give the Lord the glory and all the praise because what He's begun in all of you, He's not done. He's still working on you. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. When we dismiss today, just love on your brothers and sisters. It's not by accident. God ordered you here today, Lord. This is your church, Lord. And as we've lifted up Jesus, help us see you, Jesus, more clearly on who you really are. And help us get rid of our mental baggage. Help us come to know you in a deeper way.
And Lord, we give you all the praise and all the glory. And help us be the best neighbors in our neighborhoods in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. God bless you. If you need special prayer, altar's open.